This podcast is brought to you by Zeno Mueller, three-time Olympian and gold medalist. Imagine a 20-second 2K PR by the end of this season, or even sooner. Elite rowing coach by Zeno Mueller is a competitive advantage. The ERG score is the SAT of rowing, so find out what Zeno Mueller can do for you. Make sure to use coupon 4STARS, F-O-R-S-T-A-R-S, for $200 off on any program he has on his website. Zeno is an Olympian and graduate from Brown University, coached by the legendary Steve Gladstone. He'll get you right, he'll get your 2K down, and you'll be a better athlete after his training. So make sure you tune in with Zeno and get some coaching at eliterowingcoach.com.
On tonight's program, ladies and gentlemen, we have something that's going to make you sick.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the 4STARS podcast, where today we get to hear from Martin Stone, head coach of Notre Dame Women's Rowing. Been in the ACC for a long time, Coach Stone. What's it been like for you to be in a conference like that?
Well, Notre Dame came into ACC 2013-2014. Prior to that, we were the Big East. I think probably the first seismic shift in conference realignment saw us, all the Notre Dame sports, head to the ACC. So it's been a great, so we're going on 10 years now. So,
and obviously with some new teams coming in, we got Stanford, we got SMU, we got Cal.
Sure.
Pretty good teams. What was your first thought when you saw that come out?
I think it's great for Rowan. I mean, those teams needed a good, strong conference home, right? And given everything that was going on, that I think probably the University of Notre Dame was pretty instrumental in trying to make sure that Stanford and Cal especially found a home for their sports. It was great on one hand, but it was like, really, the ACC really had to come here? So, but I think there's an academic alignment there that we sometimes get lost. It is the ACC is a pretty rigorous academic conference, and Cal, Stanford, and SMU coming in, I think it just matches. It's like Notre Dame going to the ACC, same type of thing.
We see Notre Dame, you know, it's obviously a huge football school. Mm-hmm. Do you have any connections with any of those other coaches at those other sports?
Yeah, we usually have just an informal coaches meeting probably once every 3 weeks to 4 weeks that we get together. And we're in a suite of offices. So right next to me is volleyball, baseball, and softball. Then downstairs we have track and field, men's and women's lacrosse, and men's and women's soccer. So, and then there's regular gatherings together that we'll see. So it's not unusual to get together and bounce ideas off one another. I mean, I think we all have, our sports may be different, but the underlying, what we're trying to do and working with our student athletes are very similar.
So your spring season is pretty much, it's starting. Next week is a big race for you coming out to California, mm-hmm. the Crew Classic. What was your thought of coming out to California and being a part of that?
Well, I think we've tried since I've been here like 25 years or so to be out to the West Coast at least once a year. And I think we've only missed like four out of those years. Coming out here in San Diego was the first West Coast trip I took with the team, 2000, 2001, sometime in there. And the university is a national school. We have people on our team from the West Coast, and we try to get to places where people can, where their families can easily travel to see them. So over the last couple of years, like last spring we raced in Boston, West Coast with San Diego again last year. This year we're in Florida. We'll race at Princeton. So, and then in the ACC, and we were in Oak Ridge a couple of weeks ago. So for us to get out and then to race great schools. Right?
I think like one of the perks about the Crew Classic is that like there's so many different teams from around the country that go to it, you know? Like this year, SMU is going to be going to the Crew Classic this year.
Right.
They didn't go in previous years. And we actually, previous podcast to this, we had Chase Graham, new head coach at SMU. He said, why aren't we going to Crew Classic? Why aren't we going to these regattas? So, and it'd be cool to be, you know, SMU go there because their team's a lot smaller this year, but also they'll be in your conference next year, you know?
Right.
It'll be pretty cool. And so will Cal and Stanford. They'll all be there. So it'll be, be fun. So more about the actual university itself. So, a lot of high school athletes tune into the show. They like to know more about the, you know, different teams out there, what they have to offer. What sets Notre Dame apart from the other schools?
I think there's three components. If you're a student at Notre Dame, athlete, non-athlete, like your academics, right? What are you pursuing academically? What are your extracurriculars going to be? So if you're an athlete, it's your sport, but it might be band, it might be theater, it might be community service, there might be something else out there. And then the third component, because I think those are at all schools, the third component is that strong sense of community. Like, we're a residential campus. People live in the dorms through their junior year. And dorm selection coming as a freshman is random. You fill out, so I imagine you fill out something, but it's not the case where, okay, all the athletes live together on the same floor or all the rowers live together. It's random. That educational experience that comes from being part of a really strong community is probably what sets us apart. And like, I think it was really driven home in probably May of 2000 when Father John said, hey, we're coming back to school. Everybody's coming back to school in August. We're going to have full classes. We're going to live in the dorms and we'll figure out how it's going to work out, right? And some schools went to split. Some schools went to online. That wasn't us, because we feel community is really important to your education. So I think that's what sets us apart more than anything else. Being part of the University of Notre Dame, not just being a rower or a basketball player or a golfer or a football player, and you only live in those worlds. It's like you live in the university.
What's the school's motto?
Oh, that's a good question. And I don't know that answer right
now. I only asked because I went to a private high school and our motto was minds for leadership and hearts for service. Right. And like that stuck with me. Like I realized, like being at that school, it taught me so much, and it actually was the foundation of where I like started to like really like broadcast journalism and took some classes there and was like, okay, maybe this is my niche. I mean, I like this. I found rowing at that high school. So just like different things that I learned there, and it just helped shape me into the man I am today. So, but you know, I just was curious if you knew, but we'll go on. You don't have to know. Just yeah. You know, random question. I don't think I've ever asked a coach that question. So you're the first. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pocock Racing Shells, a name synonymous with championship-winning boats and groundbreaking innovation for over a century. For 113 years, Pocock has been the heartbeat of rowing, crafting boats that have conquered waters, broken records, and earned medals like no other. Our legacy is your assurance of quality and performance. Our dedicated customer base includes prestigious Division I colleges and universities, as well as countless smaller schools and clubs across the USA. We're honored to be your trusted partner in the world of rowing. But what sets Pocock apart? We remain family-owned, committed to preserving our rich tradition of handcrafting every boat right here in Everett, Washington. With unparalleled service, staff, and decades of knowledge, we are well prepared to help keep you on the water and ready for race day. Be sure to catch us at this year's upcoming regattas, where we'll be unveiling the future of rowing, the X1X and the X4, the next evolution in our X Series boats coming in 2024. One thing that I also was curious about too is the ERG score and how important that is to you as a coach. Because obviously you've had some great athletes that have gone to U23 teams, the Olympic teams, who just announced, you know, just curious to hear your opinion on that.
It's one metric, right? People ask that. And this is what I would tell any athlete who's like looking around. Give us the full picture of how you came about it. What does it look like? Well, I erg once in a while. Well, that's different than I erg every day. And we'd like to get a better picture. So we'd like to know what your 1 minute or your 10 strokes or your 5K or 6K, how that adds up. What's your athletic background? I only row in the spring, right? So I have an ERG score for a month, but I run cross country and swim or something like that. So it's, people put a lot of weight on it, but I think at the college level, it's more, it's a comforting number as a coach, but it's not the end all be all. Reach out to the coaches of the schools that you want to go to and let them make that decision. Don't self-select out of it because you think the score is something.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
So there's a couple of schools that I know of that have like, we will only talk to you if you are under this metric, like sub 740. Okay. And so I'm in my head, and when I'm talking to, a lot of athletes reach out to me for actually recruiting help. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'd love to help you as much as I can. I'll be a resource, but you know, I'm not the coach. I don't know what they're thinking.
Right.
So I hear 740 and I'm like, okay, understandable, you know, at the D1 level, but you don't think that's so crucial?
I think you need a bigger picture. You need to see a much bigger, if somebody just says 740 and you're like, oh, but they're 400 on the 1 minute on the watts, that's something different. Or, you know, they're 2 minute on the 6K and they're 740 on the, like, there's a different things to look and see that might move the needle in a different direction.
And also recruiting coxswains. Different. It's not the same as recruiting a rower. So How do we go about that?
Sure, because I think we have a pretty strong, we call them the coxswain corps, and we usually try to have about 8 on the squad. It's like what type of their leadership, where they get their voice recordings, their background, with what races they've run, their demeanor, are they confident, those types of things.
Are there some teams this year that you're really trying to go head to head with?
Yeah, no, I think everybody. Like, it's a really competitive race schedule, and we're just trying to go as fast as we can. And it's interesting in rowing that, like, we have more determination in what's going to happen in our boat speed than anybody else. We let the other team get in our head, they can determine our boat speed. For the most part, we have complete control over how fast we're going to go.
We talked on the phone about how you've been in Notre Dame for a very long time. Obviously, mm-hmm. You've been there. Why did you want to stay there so long? And why have you been there forever?
That's a good question. I really like the people here, right? And I've been very fortunate for my two coaching profession places, U.S. Naval Academy and here. So, and I think the people the students that go to both of those schools are very similar. That's number one. Number two, I raised my family here. So it's a good place to be. And it's really good people and a great athletic department and a great administration.
Growing up, I was a big USC Trojan guy. All right. And so when we went against you guys, no, we don't like the green. I will say though, the battle was real and it still is to this day. Yeah. What is that like? Game mean to you?
I mean, it's huge because it's such a storied rivalry, right? It's gone back and forth, and like it wasn't easy to travel back across country back when they started doing it, right? They weren't hopping on a chartered 747 and getting there in 4 or 5 hours. It may have been a train trip, and you know, it's just meaningful and historic. Like we run stadiums in the fall in our stadium, and throughout our stadium, there are banners hanging of all the classic Notre Dame games from the 20s and 30s. And you're looking at the team like, we think it's difficult now. Imagine the difficulty then of just the logistics of the travel and getting there. And you see the pictures of the campus here. Like back in the day, the stadium was like almost out in the middle of nowhere. Now the north quadrant of the stadium is the central point of campus.
One of my like favorite movies is Rudy. Sure. I've always like grown up to like love that movie because of my size and just like seeing that soul to just go and be somewhere. Like if you want to get somewhere, you got to work out, you got to go for it. You can't stop, you got to keep going. And so obviously Notre Dame was like the, you know, setting of the entire movie. And when you watch that, did that ever change your mind of actually wanted to coach Notre Dame?
I think a little, right? Notre Dame had always been this kind of this mystic place of coaching and watching the football, like the late Holtz years, right? And then going into it. And so then when we got here, our locker room in the Joyce Center is the old football locker room. So the building hasn't changed much in some ways. And there's still some of the scenes you see in Rudy, those places still exist here on campus. So we walk by every day. So we have up in our big erg room, a huge sign that says train like a champion today.
There you go. That's what's up. I like that. I like that a lot. I think it's that could be one of the models as well.
Yeah.
You know? All right, we'll get back into rowing, though. I'm getting a little too ahead of myself here. Perks of being a student athlete at Notre Dame. Anything that you've seen? Obviously, it's different than Naval Academy because it's not, you know, a military school. But
right. I mean, you get to be part of something that's much larger than yourself every day. You know, there's about 700 athletes. So a little under 10% of the student population is a student athlete here at Notre Dame. You get academic support. You get that type of stuff. I think the perk is you get to surround yourself with great people every day, right? Some of your best friends will be on the team. Some of you, in our case, like people who'll be in their weddings and whatnot are on the team. But then also kind of is that you get to go back to your dorm and you might not have, your roommate might not be a rower or your dorm mates. You get to a whole nother circle of friends from that. So I think that's one of the perks. It's not just athletics all the time. That you're expected to be part of the community that extends beyond athletics.
The reason why I asked that question was because there's a lot of athletes that want to know that they're going to have support while being an athlete because mm-hmm. you spend so much time, you know, working and doing that. So I just wanted to clarify and just see if you could provide that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think like we have academic support services, nutrition, sports psych, strength and conditioning, medical. So all the standard things you have. So, but again, I think it comes back to what differentiates us a little bit is that expectation that you're part of a bigger community.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, we'll get into our Q&A now because we got lots of questions. I want to get all answered, and then we'll get into our next topics. So this is actually from one of your athletes.
All right.
He's asking, what's your favorite inspirational quote?
Our team motto is team teammate self. Gosh, on the spot, I'll have to come back to that and think. But team teammate self is probably my number one. Like, let's go to that.
Okay. Yeah, I told you, Coach. We're on the spot here. It's improv too. Besides IRF scores, what does Notre Dame look for in a potential recruit?
Academic ability, number one. Do you have the academic background, the classes you've taken, your standardized test scores, although we're still test optional, I think. So that, but the scope and breadth of your academic preparation is number one. That admissions is the number one yay or nay. So
how do you see the Notre Dame men's team in their progression?
They're pretty good, right? I think they were third at Accra last year. The varsity eight's kicking along. They have a young man who I think may have just set the 5K record. Rode at U23s last year, like one of the maybe the only club athlete to come out of the system and made the US U23 team.
So cool.
So I think they're good. I think Quinn does a great job with them.
Yeah. What sealed the deal for you to coach Notre Dame?
To essentially start the program. Like, we were very happy at Navy, and it was the opportunity to start the program. And I looked around to see how the other women's sports were performing here and what the vibe was, and it was really good.
And also, how do you make sure your athletes are okay mentally?
Well, that's a good question as well. We try to check in on them and see.
How often?
I think every day. When you're a coach and you have interaction with your student athletes, it might not be formally, hey, are you okay? But you're checking to see what's going on. Or a teammate might say something. We have what we call the sport performance staff that we usually meet on Tuesdays. So it's the coaching staff, athletic trainer, sports psych, nutritionist, strength and conditioning, academic services that we get together and check. And if there's people whose names kind of continue to, like, hey, they surface whatever, this person's struggling in this class and whatnot, then we'll reach out and see.
Okay. Do you ever chat with other coaches at other schools when you're recruiting athletes and see if they've spoken to them and stuff like that?
Other college coaches about recruits?
Yeah. Like, do you guys talk about other recruits and stuff like that?
Usually no.
No? No. Okay.
I think each school is looking for the person that's the right fit for them, right? Mm-hmm. And does it right. But we're not going to collude with, well, we're recruiting this person, you're recruiting this person and whatnot. Now, during the course of the conversation with the recruit, they may say, these are the schools that I'm looking for. And we ask that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I reach out to talk to the other coaches like, hey, what do you think about this person? The no-brainer is the really tall kid with a phenomenal IRF score and great academics, right? That's the no-brainer. But there's a really limited group of those people out there.
Yeah.
So everything else is just finding the person that you think works within your program.
What is your greatest worry as a coach?
Something happened to one of our kids on our team. Something that we can't control, that they, like, something happens and stuff happens. And so that's our, like, safety is, like, really, like, highly important to us, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we have to be really careful. So.
And then I asked you about if you talk to other coaches, college coaches, you talk to high school coaches.
In some cases we do, to try to get a background, get some information, see what's going on. Yeah.
How many scholarships do you offer on your team?
We're fully funded. So we have 20, the limit of 20. Those are equivalency, so we can break them up.
Got it. And are some of those full, or are they majority?
There's some women that are on full, yes. And okay. Some are on partial. It just depends on the situation and the speed of the person.
Okay. I'm just doing rapid fire here. How are your assistant coaches picked?
Well, I've been pretty fortunate that I've had the same assistants now for, like, I think Jamie's been here like 5 and T's been here for like 7.
Nice.
So we're open one thing. We'll probably try to fill our position during the summer. We don't turn over staff very much. It's people like being here, right? We're rowing 5.5/8 on most days during practice. People just like being part of the team and like being here and like what it stands for.
Good to hear. And then, do you recruit international athletes? That was a question we had here.
We will. Just not as active, I think, as some other schools.
Okay. Is there a reason behind that?
Admissions is one of them, yeah. Admissions, okay. Cost, right?
Okay. I think that's all for the Q&A we have here today. I don't think I see anything. Oh, last question here. What type of cross training do you like to do in the wintertime?
We ride the Berg a lot.
Berg.
We're Berg, run stadiums in the fall, run. I think those are probably the main things. But we did this winter, we did a lot of steady state on the Berg. At least 50% of the steady state was on the Berg, and most of the steady on the erg were on sliders.
Okay.
So not so much on the static.
And do you use the RP3 at all?
We do not.
You don't use the RP3. Okay. Because there are some coaches in the ACC that have been using the RP3s, and mm-hmm. also like the, you know, they don't like the static as much because of the injury, and they like to do the sliders and whatnot. So just wanted to see where you're at with that.
Yeah. And our injuries were pretty low. So.
Oh, like, good to hear.
Yeah. And our volume, I think our volume was up, but we really measured on what we were doing. So.
And so a day in the life of a Notre Dame athlete.
If it's a Tuesday, Thursday morning as a rower, you come over at practice at 7. We lift and do some erg work between 7 and 8:30. Get a quick breakfast, head to class, in class until 4. Then we meet at practice and go from 4 to roughly 4 to 6, somewhere around in there. That's a Tuesday, Thursday workouts. Wednesday, like, it just depends. So this Wednesday we practice in the morning and then we came back in the afternoon. And then Friday is a mobility session in lift. It's more of a dynamic workout for about an hour and then an afternoon session. So we take Mondays are our days off in the spring here.
So how many sessions are you putting in a week?
We're trying to get between 9 and 11. It depends.
And you would say, like, how many of those are erg sessions? How many of those are weights?
3 are probably a combo. The erg weight session on Tuesday, Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. And then there may be a single erg session one day in the afternoon. It just depends. In the fall, there is one. Tuesday afternoons are erg day.
And you guys use MPOCers, right?
Yeah.
Navy uses MPOCers as well. So mm-hmm. Was that something that you wanted to just keep going with? You didn't want to change boat manufacturers?
We've been through different. We were in Hudson's. I just felt the MPOCer maybe might be a little bit better for us at the time. So we were in them for a while, then we're out, now we're back in. We'll see. I think it's finding the right boat's interesting because I think that the critical thing you have to do in boat testing, you have to row the boat at speed and see what's really happening at whatever your race rate's going to be and see how the boat reacts. And some boats just kind of match your style and work really well. So I think that's it. I think right now that's for the MPOCers working for us.
Right on. Well, we'll get back into the heart of the questions here. Thank you for all those that sent in questions for Coach Martin Stone. Has there been something in your career that you felt that you've seen that you've improved on as a coach over the years?
I think former athletes from many years ago would say that I've mellowed out and I'm a lot less strict and nicer, I guess. Like, it's interesting. Like, we don't have a lot of rules on our team because we have young adults who are really responsible. Like, we don't have a be on time to practice thing because people are never late. And if they are late, they have a really good reason. Like, their professor held them over for class, right? And I never want a situation where we're mad at somebody for being late and because the professor held her over and she didn't have time, like, she can't do anything about that. So the people on our team are really responsible and they let us know what's going on. Rarely is anybody ever late. I think probably I've gotten a little bit better understanding the academic rhythm of the university. And each university has that. Like, when your really hard weeks can happen and when maybe you have to back off because of academic loads.
Also, do you ever deny athletes to take certain majors, like a pre-med, for instance?
Architecture here is really hard because they have the architecture studio from 3 until the work is done every day.
Oh,
that's really difficult. But beyond that, we're fairly evenly distributed between four major colleges: business, arts and letters, science and engineering. So mm-hmm. I think we had like 4 people or 5 people that are going to go to med school that graduated last year that are headed to med school next year or so.
Wow.
So we make accommodations for that, right? It's not easy. And there's some days where somebody's not going to be on the water. They're going to have to do their work in the erg room and get some work done there. Mm-hmm. But we're education first.
Right.
And so, yeah, they may not get the exact professor they want all the time. We're not going to say, well, you want to be pre-med, you can't row here, because like, people have done that and they do it each year. It's not easy. Let's be really clear. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
You run the gamut.
Sure. So. On our phone call, we talked about a big concern. You touched on something that I never thought about asking a coach. And it's true. It's like, if there's not enough media in the sport, then the sport's going to fall. You had mentioned, and I have talked about it before, women's rowing was the only NCAA sport that was not included in the ESPN deal. Media rights. That is unbelievable.
It's on us as coaches, administrators, people involved in the sport to make sure that people understand that there is rowing, and it's really at the core of every university's mission to help educate young people and prepare them for lifelong success. And what's ironic about this whole thing is like we have more people that watch rowing practice every day than watch any other practice on campus. Like, we go through down on our river every day, and there's people driving by, there are people on the shore, houses. And that's the same way across the country for the most part, right? If you're in the University of Washington, you're rowing, everybody sees who knows who you are. And you're Princeton, you're rowing along the river there. If you're in the Schuylkill or if you're in Boston, I just think that we just need to do a better job of promoting it. So last year we were at the ACC's, Hamish Bond, the New Zealand Olympian, right? Like, on Mount Rushmore rowing. Was there. I think his wife was working at Duke and he was helping out with a little bit of Duke coaching. nobody knew who he was. Like, he's like the Michael Jordan of, like, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or name anybody, like Caitlin Clark or whoever. And they're like, the college age athletes didn't really know who he was at that time. And so that drove it home. I'm like, I'm not sure, like, if Kara Kohler walked through campus, people would know who Kara Kohler is. Like, she's represented, or Jevy Stone. And I just think rowing, we have to do a much better job of getting these stories out. Like, here are our stars of our sports.
Yeah, no, you're right. 100%. How do you prepare your athletes to graduate? And to also, we talked about this on the phone call, how do you see the development, and what do you hope that they, you know, are like after they spend their time with you?
I guess my hope is that upon graduation, that you have confidence that you can handle pretty much any type of difficult situation. Why do we have 5.5/8 worth of women that are rowing every day? And some will probably may not race at all, or some might race limitedly. Like, what's the deal? And I think down inside, what attracts the people to the team to rowing, and not just here, but at other schools, is like, they know in deep inside that in order to be successful, they have to do really difficult things and try difficult things and work to overcome them. And I think that's what drives them. It's not easy being a college athlete. It's not easy being a college athlete here or anywhere, right? You've got a lot of demands, but you know, I think the people that are running on our team and the other rowers I've talked to, other teams and other coaches, it's like down inside, they know that in order to be a stronger person mentally, physically, emotionally, they have to challenge themselves and do difficult things. And rowing is that avenue for them to do that and to test themselves and do it. You know, it's interesting because there's no perfect rowing stroke. There might be a perfect moment in a boat, but there's no perfect everything. And even when you do, you set a PR on the rowing machine, right? You get off and there's like, well, could I have gotten 1/10 of a second faster, right? So there's that constant just like striving to be a little bit better and grinding and understanding there's going to be some really bad days that it's not going to be there for you. You have to just kind of get up and keep going. So, and that's very similar. I think once you graduate from college, you have those types of days. Like, you may not always want to get to work, but you got to get up and go, right?
Yeah.
For the greater good. So.
Totally. We talked about this as well. I dropped the women's rowing watch list. Got lots of hate that I didn't think I was going to get. You know, I thought it was going to be, you know, a good thing, but I expect there to be some like, oh, why was this person chosen or whatnot? Right. I mean, there was more than I expected. And how did I handle it? Like, who did I talk to when I was going through some stuff, like receiving all that hate from people who I had thought was going to, you know, tell me good job. But so I don't know, just how you go about it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think in like, there's no perfect watch list, right? Right. But you look at it in all the other sports they do it, like the preseason All-American. Some of those people don't pan out to be at the end of the season All-Americans in football and basketball or baseball or softball. But, you know, I do think those types of things have benefited, I know, within our sports information and media group appreciates it. I know that when we brought it up and we did the – brought it up in November to run the ACC one, that the ACC communications director thought it was a good idea because it gave them something to talk about in January or February. I guess February when the ACC was released, it's like, let's start talking about rowing.
Yeah.
Right. And here's what's going on. And like I said, as we try to promote our sport and get the information out there, they're like, you know, if you follow somebody on that list, like, hey, I'm going to follow Natalie or Avery on our team. And like, look, like, you know, Avery's doing great stuff and is going to probably try out for the national team and maybe go on to become a dentist. And like, wow, she's a role model. Or Natalie, like, you know, the interesting story on Natalie is Natalie and it's Anna Jensen, maybe at Texas.
Yeah.
Both from Midland, Michigan.
Right.
A year apart. There's not really a huge rowing presence there. I think they both ran cross country together in middle school.
Oh, cool.
That's what Natalie's told me. And they're very good friends and they know each other and they swam against each other in high school and whatnot stuff. But like, I mean, that's a neat story. There's two amongst the top level women rowers in the country that are from Michigan.
Yeah. I had Anna Jensen on the show and a great athlete, great person. So
right. Here are two kids have gone under six, probably under 6:46 or something on the 2K. Like there's very few clubs in the country that can, or cities or areas that can produce two in the same generation, right?
No, it's great. Kudos to both those athletes for doing what they're doing. And I think that one of the things that rowing does for people is that you know, it might not give you a full ride scholarship to a university, but the schools will, you'll be able to go to a school and get some, a great education, and you'll also be able to be a student athlete. And like for some schools, they can, they'll help you more. I think alumni will help you because alumni is so prominent in the sport. I mean, we saw when the Stanford men's program got cut, the alumni were on it like that, you know, or when the Dartmouth lightweight program was cut. We interviewed the head coach over there, Trevor Michelson. So there's so much that I think the alumni can do for a program. And I wanted to ask you, how strong is Notre Dame women's rowing alumni?
It's interesting because there's like two groups. Oh. So the group that started the varsity alumni group, right, who's pretty young, right? They're the most out of 20, 25 years or so, right? And they're active. And we had a reunion in the fall of 22. And it was neat because they're the first groups to come back and they were all really fit and really, really strong and great. And then there's a group, the ND Danes, who are amongst the first women to row at Notre Dame, the first class that came in this, I think, 76 or so. So they came back 10, 15 years ago for a reunion as just that group. And they all went out in a boat and I was in the launch and I said, like, hey, you know, the Charles, they have this alumni boat thing. If you want to get together, we'll get you. We were going out at the time. So, you know, we'll get you a boat and there'll be oars and you just have to show up. So this was the fall. So in January, they got together and said, hey, we're going to do this. And the following fall, they raced. And since then, it's now become a pretty strong group. And they have two or three training camps each year. So one in Vero Beach in March. And then they always have one here Labor Day weekend or one of the weekends in early fall. And it started out with like eight. Now it's like 2.5 boats of women come back. They train, they race at the head of the Schuylkill. And they might race at Masters Nationals or do some other races. But like, that's the neat group, right? Who kind of came in Notre Dame as pioneers, first amongst the first women at the university, started it, and then are like now rekindled and are back into it. And they're getting more, but it's a strong neat group. And last fall, the university gave them honorary monograms for those women that were in those sports in the early years. So hugely meaningful, and they're tremendous and they're great. So, and it goes to prove, right? Rowing is one of those, it's a lifelong sport.
And the lessons that you learn from it are so important. But a question to follow up on that is, do you have any core convictions as a coach?
In our sports, you have to be available to train and to recover. Right. You have to be able to do, you have to have that time and that ability to do it and understand that not every day is going to be a great day, but just to go, okay, this is part of the process. We're going to work through it and get better and try to be kind of measured in your response. Right. No day is as great or as bad as you think it is.
And I think also being coachable is so important too. Mm-hmm. You know, like how willing are you to want to like amend those things in your rowing stroke, to listen to your coach and see what they're looking at, you know? Because there's so many athletes who are like, oh yeah, I'm content. I'm good here. Like, right. Are you really though?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's good that to have that as well. And back in my, I always wanted to be coachable and learning and listening. So sure. I asked you a motto about, you know, Notre Dame as a school. A motto that I live by is, if you're not going to the boathouse improving at least 1%, don't bother showing up at all. Because what's the point, right? Because I'm always searching for improvement, whether that's in my life or the podcast. How do you search for improvement as a coach?
I read a lot, talk to other coaches, podcasts, talking with our athletes, right? I learn a lot talking with athletes. Like when we're on the water, it's really difficult. But when we're inside and we're on the berg and it's the time for me to go through and chat with them and see how it's going and what's going on in school. What's their interests? But I read a lot.
Read a lot of like books or what exactly are you reading?
I'll read books. I'll read if there's papers that get put out by different people on different things. I think those are in the books run the day, like some is about rowing, but oftentimes leadership or different stories about different things. So
just totally. Depends. Yeah. John Wooden, a book. My coach sent me a book of John Wooden. Thought it was great. Yeah. And in the beginning of this podcast, we talked about recruiting, how important that is as a coach.
We are really big on the official visit. Like coming in when you do the visit, minimal programming from us, like get to know our team, let us get to know the coaching staff, the coaching staff gets to know you. the team, and then like post visit, ask like, hey, what'd you think, and whatnot, and get to know the family. So I think those are all important. The moment you get to know the person, right? Because ultimately, it's going to be that person, that potential student athlete, is going to be living that life as a Notre Dame student, as a Notre Dame rower. She's got to know that, and we try to give as realistic as what it's going to be, right? That like, we don't sugarcoat it. Like, we usually don't do home football weekends, right? Because those are abnormal to the other years. So come in, and we want you to spend time with our team. And do you want to belong to our team? And that's kind of our main thing. And see.
So you don't do home football games. That's a story I've never heard. I've only heard that they bring the athletes when it is a football game or it is a huge basketball game. Wow. What was the reasoning behind that?
And we've done it both ways. I thought it misrepresented what your life here would be like. And in two ways. If you came in on a football, on a big, let's say you came in on the USC weekend, right? Huge weekend. It's going to be a night game. Come in on Friday. The campus is crazy. It's crazy all day Saturday. Parking lot, the tailgating, doing everything, right? And you go home on Sunday. Your impression is like twofold. Like, wow, this is a great place and it's pretty exciting and it's great. And maybe my academics aren't important, right? So you might end up attracting the person who academic is secondary. And really the person whose academics are really important is like, I'm just not comfortable in this situation. So I just felt that we have the people come in on a non-football weekend. Usually they come in on a Saturday and leave on Monday. So they go to class Monday morning, they hang with the team Saturday evening. I meet with them on Sunday. They have practice on Sunday afternoon, go through Monday class, and then leave the six home football games. It's going to be really fun and a lot better. But the rest of the time, this is kind of what it's like. I don't know. Maybe there's kids that's really important. I just think our team is like, our team GPA is like a 3.5. And like I said, you know, they're pre-med, they're engineering, they're business, they're arts and letters, they're pre-law. The football weekends are fun, right? And it's a great time to be at college in the stands, but that's not the other time of the year. So we just try to be realistic on our visits.
I've talked to Yosi. You know Yosi? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I talked to him and I asked him this question. I wanted to know your thought on it too. Is there a chronic mistake in junior rowing coaches and what they're teaching athletes?
I think trying to do what colleges are doing and what the national team is doing. I think that's probably everybody's initial chronic mistake, trying to do whatever the best are doing. They're doing that. I'm going to do that exactly. That's not, you got to do what's going to work for you and your group, right? You can take ideas. And I made this mistake like in my early years, like, oh, well, they're doing that, so that's what we're going to do. I'm like, and then realize that they could do that because of the athletes they had, the background, they understood it. Like, there's some rowing strokes out there I just don't understand. I can't figure it out, right? And so I'm just like, well, I like the way they're rowing, but I can't. They seem to produce both of me, but I can't figure out how they're coaching it. So we're just not going to do that, right?
I was going to ask you about if you implement the gather at the finish.
We have, and you go through cycles, right? We do it a little bit, but probably less so now than we have in the past. Like, I think I've evolved over the last couple of years on a rowing stroke and probably changed it probably more so, or focused a little bit differently this year on it. I think there's a place for it. And I think especially when you're working on like, hey, let's make sure everybody's finishing up high and we're gathering together and releasing the boat and letting it go. But I think once you get beyond that, there's a little bit, some other things that to do, right?
Yeah. And also, what do you think is the most important part of the rowing stroke?
Body position and preparation as you put the blade in the water.
So the catch.
The catch.
Yeah.
Not now, actually what the blade is doing out here, but what your body, where your body is, how your hands are, and mm-hmm. the next motion from that.
Mm-hmm. Right? Who taught you, or how did you come to realize that that was the most important?
I watched a lot of videos to try to figure out why some boats were going really fast that were probably undersized, underpowered. Mm-hmm. And I think, and then all the coaching seminars and whatnot. And, you know, I think that's probably it. But I mean, now you can watch all the racing videos and see what people are doing, right? And being like, mm-hmm. okay, why? And then maybe talking to them or riding launches with different coaches or having those conversations. So we are more than open. Like, I want to make sure everybody knows that anybody wants to come ride in the launch, we are wide open. They're more than welcome. Any time to come watch practice and sit in or pick up the phone and call, right?
Yeah.
And that's like, as we evolved our style this year, I rode in the launch in the summer. I went and watched with Jesse and the national team women. And I rode a couple of days there. So I've talked to different people. So I think that's the way to learn and ask the question, right?
Excited to meet you next week over the Classic and to see what your team can do over in San Diego.
We're excited too.
Yeah.
Going to be like the crew class has always been very good to us. And like, I think the first year we went out, we went into the Jessup Whittier Cup and I just asked, I said, listen, we want to go out and we want to race in this. And then we made the grand final. That was when there were like 12 boats and we made the grand final and overcame our seed and whatnot. So for our team, for some of our kids who don't row necessarily larger programs, to go out there and see that, and also exposure to the juniors on the West Coast, right? Like, hey, yeah. Notre Dame's coming out. We're going to race at the largest junior regatta on the West Coast. It's pretty large. And so I think all those, and I think we're excited. This is the logistics of it. Our boats get loaded on Saturday after practice, Saturday afternoon, and leave on Sunday and get out there on Thursday and hopefully go for a little bit of row and line them up and race. So
it's going to be fun. I'm excited. Yeah. Last year was great to see, but this year I think it's going to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
The entire scope and of, you know, certain athletes, a lot of, you know, teams lost some talent, right. A lot of teams gained some talent. So it'll be really cool to see how it all pans out.
I think our heat last year was crazy.
Yeah.
I think we're in the heat. Texas was it Texas Brooks. And then our right was the defending Olympic champions, right?
Yeah. That was crazy. Rates,
right. I'm like, okay. But yeah. It's great that like our kids can lie and say like, look, yeah, I went to the line in the spring of 23 with the defending Olympic champion 8. Right? There's not a lot of sports where you can
do that.
You can say that, right?
Yeah. So, and I was going to close up the podcast, but I did have one more question. Sure. The talent of athletes on your team right now, is it different than the years past? Or at least the level of commitment, the character? That's a lot of, you know, I'm asking a little.
I think the character and who we are is similar. I think physically a little bit different. I think the 13-14 year was really, really special. So that had Molly Brueggemann.
Yeah.
Just made the Olympic team, right?
I gotta say, yeah.
Boxberger, who she and Brueggemann in the spring of 2013 were in the boat together, won the U23-8. Mm-hmm. Alice Sheehan, who's since passed, but rode for Ireland U23. It was a really neat group. Joanna Mulvey, brothers Brendan used to run. I don't know if he still runs ahead of Charles. But she was pretty special. Anna Kottkamp, who in the spring of 2014 was the valedictorian of the university. So
wow.
That group, like physically, was built a little bit differently. But we are closer. Like Natalie has beaten all of Molly and Aaron Boxberger's records on the erg.
Wow.
Avery's right on her tail. So we're getting there. But the character of like being upstanding citizens and hardworking, and that hasn't really ever changed.
Okay.
The background, the, like, for lack of a better term, the genetics, right, and what you have coming into it, that's mm-hmm. changed a little bit. But the women being awesome, that's since day one. And like I said, I've been really fortunate, right? Uh-huh. They're too special at Naval Academy in here, right?
Yeah.
It's like they are just awesome people to work with. So,
yeah. Great to hear. Well, I'm excited to meet you, Coach. Excited for the team. And anything else you'd like to say before we close it out here?
No, I think it's exciting time for rowing. I think the more we can promote rowing and be each other's advocates, the better. So
there you go.
So, I appreciate your time taking out. So this is great for us. So.
Likewise. And everyone, this is Martin Stone from Notre Dame Women's Rowing. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate your time. Sure. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.